Appendix A, Ormus, with David Wolf. Ormus properties. David Radius Hudson made a number of discoveries concerning the properties of quote-unquote strange matter related to the platinum group metals that he chemically released from Arizonan basalt rock. This strange matter had subsequently been termed ormus. Hudson determined that metals, when they are infolded back into their ormus form, lose 4/9 of their mass. When these ormus elements are converted back to the metallic state, they regain 4/9 of their mass. This indicates that the mass was somehow slipped into another dimension and then brought back. Hudson theoretically proved that the atomic nuclei of ormus elements are deformed into egg, banana, or bottle shapes, instead of near spheres, thereby deforming space-time even more intensely than normal atomic nuclei and opening up a larger rift in the fabric of matter. They are drawing in large quanta of free energy from the ether. David Hudson has claimed room temperature superconductivity of the ormus elements. He identified fuel cell applications for such elements. According to Barry Carter, who is currently the internet's leading authority on ormus, an ormus osmium battery the size of a car battery can be charged to power a vehicle for 2,000 miles. That's 3,220 kilometers. Ordinary electric cars use 20 normal batteries to do the same thing. In a computer, an ormus osmium battery could store enough power that you would only need to charge it once a year. Hudson also appears to have identified that ormus elements can completely shield energy and radiation except at their resonant frequencies. This insight alone can have shocking implications for all aerospace technologies, such as coating spacecraft with ormus elements to shield them from space radiation. Alien spacecraft are said to be coated with such materials. Ormus elements in and on those ships may give them properties of living machines. Remember, ormus is atomic matter that is, by all estimations, conscious. In his research, Barry Carter has noted that ormus appears to be capable of the following phenomenon. Meissner field activity, an electromagnetic field without polarity that can cause spontaneous levitation when it is moved over the Earth's magnetic field. Tachyon events, faster than light phenomenon. Josephson tunneling. Ormus minerals have been noted to jump or teleport from one place to another. Superfluid behavior. This causes energy to flow without friction in our dimension and may open the way to scientifically understanding ghosts and apparitions. Bose-Einstein condensates. A group of atoms in phase and therefore behaving as one atom. This type of quantum coherence could scientifically explain how clairvoyance or telepathy occur. Homeopathic properties of water. Ormus elements may be responsible for the power of succussed or superdiluted herbal medicines. Alchemy. The insight of ormus physics, nuclear physics, and quantum physics continue to point to the stunning realization that the great alchemists of history were onto something major. Today we are taught that ancient alchemists were juvenile chemists who did not know what they were doing and that all alchemy is either useless arcane chemistry or a mere metaphor for the Enlightenment process. Yet there are those among us who never bought these ideas. Those of you who can read between the lines of the surviving works of the great alchemists understand that there is actually a physical science of alchemy. The great alchemists are talking about an advanced form of chemistry and quantum physics, not just spiritual metaphors. The alchemists knew something that they deliberately obscured so that the secret could not be penetrated without proper intent. Although not critical for most non-scientific laypeople in the overall discussion of ormus, but critical for scientific ormus researchers, there is a possibility that the class of elements we currently call ormus may have three or more subclasses within it, referred to by traditional alchemists as the salt, sulfur, and mercury of the metal. So, for example, ormus copper, we believe, refers to the salt of the metal copper in traditional alchemy because the ancient alchemists would have created ormus copper out of copper by the projection of copper onto molten sodium. There may be, in addition, two other forms of ormus copper, namely the sulfur and mercury of copper. The words salt, sulfur, and mercury, as used by alchemists in this context, are code words and have nothing to do with the molecules of salt, sulfur, and mercury as we know them in modern science. As a side note, it is possible that the mercury of the different metals is all the same. Where is ormus found? Ormus is unusually concentrated in natural materials and places. Ormus elements are prevalent in our immediate environment. What we consider dirt, oxygen, carbon, silicon, aluminum, iron, calcium, etc., is often more than just these simple elements. Ormus elements are also present. High altitude valleys, the Himalaya, the Andes, are richer in etherealized ormus substances in the atmosphere than our low altitude regions. This was also observed by Wilhelm Reich, who noted that higher altitude regions are richer in orgone energy, which was his term for the superconductive flow of energy between etherealized ormus compounds in the atmosphere. Volcanic regions, especially Hawaii and Central America, are known to be rich in ormus. Occasionally, a lava rock will have unusually high concentrations of ormus. Intuitive Hawaiians called such a rock a pohaku, a stone with consciousness. The Hawaiians have a saying, Oke alea lea leu o mana, or the salt pond of mana. This denotes their understanding that salts and salt ponds contain high concentrations of ormus elements. We have extracted ormus from Celtic sea salt, Himalayan pink salt, and the salt found at Eden Hot Springs. The highest natural concentration of ormus elements is found at the Dead Sea in Dead Sea salts. The focus of alchemists on salt is not accidental. Fresh, cold mountain spring water is also known to be rich in ormus, at least for the first 100 meters out of the ground. In general, flower pollen and nectar, chitin, animal and insect exoskeletons, and mushroom spores are considered highly concentrated sources of ormus. Other places ormus elements are found. The Internet Ormus Community, Barry Carter et al., has theorized that ormus elements are perhaps thousands of times more common than their associated metals. Research by Hudson, Carter, and many garage alchemists indicates that ormus elements are more stable than metals. There's more of it present in the world. It is relatively easy to alchemically process metal atoms and turn them into ormus atoms. It is difficult to do the reverse. This type of evidence suggests reasonable stability in the ormus state. Ormus likes to get into fractures of rock, especially fissures in mica and quartz. It appears that ormus sometimes likes tight, quiet places, probably so it does not have to move in relation to magnetic fields. Ormus has been known to spontaneously jump away from strong electromagnetic fields. The Vortrap device, blueprinted by Barry Carter, uses this and other characteristics of the ormus elements to trap and concentrate ormus elements in water. Ormus has been found in charcoal briquettes, as well as hydrocarbons of various sorts, plant oils, motor oil, gasoline, rolls of plastic sheeting, plastic tubes, etc. Stealth atoms. Ormus elements can be understood as strange forms of carbon because they can mimic certain behaviors of carbon or appear to be carbon when a spectroscope is used for mineral analysis. We believe that Victor Schauberger used the word Kohlenstoff, a higher aspect of carbon, in order to signify ormus. In the English language versions of Victor Schauberger's work, Living Energies and the Ecotechnology series, author Callum Coates translated the German word Kohlenstoff to carbone to denote the difference between standard carbon and levitative forms of carbon, carbone or ormus. The following relationships were noted by David Hudson. Ormus rhodium often appears to be carbon. This is extremely interesting because rhodium as a metal is a massive atom in size, whereas carbon is relatively small by comparison. Ormus rhodium is likely the same size as carbon, and, like carbon, appears black to light. Ormus rhodium dioxide appears to be iron oxide and analyzes as iron and oxygen. hydrogen-reduced Ormus rhodium will analyze as silicon and aluminum. Annealed hydrogen-reduced Ormus rhodium analyzes as silica and calcium. This mimicking of other elements is probably related to the size of the Ormus elements. They are smaller than their completely unfolded metallic states. David Hudson reported that Ormus rhodium would appear to be other elements. David Hudson reported that Ormus rhodium would appear to be other elements depending on the state of his Ormus purification process. More interesting insights into Ormus. In our own research lab, we uncovered a point of interest. You can move a metal towards its Ormus state by doing your best to remove all energy from the metal while dissociating the metal into very small atomic clusters. With gold, this cluster size is no cluster at all. It must be one atom in size. Interestingly, this is the exact opposite of what is normally done in chemistry, adding energy to create chemical reactions. During a water heat extraction process, heat-resistant mineral skeletons, probably Ormus elements, drop out of mammalian cartilage, liver tissue, or other organ tissue and into solution in the water. These skeletons appear to contain the codes necessary for the accelerated reconstruction of cartilage or liver tissue or other organ tissue if the skeletons are ingested by other similar mammals. This appears to be what Dr. Royal Lee discovered and is likely the basis of a special line of nutritional supplements called Standard Process. Ormus, human levitation, and flight. Ormus elements are associated with levitation, displacing the force of gravity. The theory states that if one is saturated in enough Ormus, then levitation or flight become possible. We grew up enchanted by the old kung fu movies where the heroes and villains could fly through the trees with extraordinary abilities. Modern day epics like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Hero are a testimony to an age gone by. Is this all fantasy, or do myth and reality interface somewhere? Something deep inside us instinctively knows that they do. We may have caged a wild, natural aspect of our powers within a prison of ordinariness, mind-numbing taxation, and status quo. Supernatural heroics awaken a sleeping part of ourselves. So what did help those kung fu guys fly? The evidence is pointing to several key factors: training, awareness, attitude, knowing, as well as a particular type of wild red asparagus consumed in a regimen with mushroom spring water teas and goji berries. Appendix B, a summary of the seven principles of Huna with David Wolf. The Huna teachings are similar to the Egyptian teachings of initiation into the order of Melchizedek during the Third Dynasty. Huna in Hawaiian means secret. Huna in its purest form is ancient knowledge enabling individuals to connect to their highest aspirations, wisdom, skills, and abilities. Understanding and utilizing the seven principles of Huna enables each individual to connect directly with the powers of healing and harmony through the outreach of universal consciousness. This healing art and earth science is spiritual in nature, and experiencing its concepts gives us the opportunity to integrate mind, body, and spirit. One might acknowledge the Huna teachings as a series of nature's tools that help with the development of inner knowledge and enhanced innate psychic abilities. The seven principles of Huna. Ike, we make our reality. Makia, energy flows where attention goes. Mana, all power comes from within. Manawa, now is the moment of power. Kala, all change is possible. Pono, harmony, effectiveness is a measure of truth. Aloha, to love is to share the happiness of the breath of life with. Appendix C, Howard Wills, Prayer of Bounty. Lord, please open my mind, heart, and being to your complete, limitless, bountiful prosperity and love. Please help all things that I think, say, and do be filled with your complete, limitless, bountiful prosperity and love. Please allow me to be blessed with the riches and bounty of your heavens and your earth always. Please lead me, guide me, and direct me into your life, into your light, into your love, and into your complete, limitless, bountiful prosperity and love, celebrating life as it is from you, Lord, now and forever. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Lord. Thank you.